16th Psalm.
Psalm number 16. And what if we only believed what God said? You know, it's amazing to me that we have, it seems as if, we have no problem trusting God in salvation. And some folks do, I understand that. But for the most part, we have an understanding that God's Word says that if we trust the Lord Jesus and call unto Him, that He will save us. And we believe that. Amen? I trust you do anyway. I know I do, and I hope you do. But it seems like sometimes our belief stops there. But here's the fact. We can take God at His Word for everything that He says. And we can believe Him in all things. And it's amazing when we trust in Him to see what God will do. And we just need to trust Him more. Have faith. How many times did Jesus tell His disciples, have faith? Have faith. And let me illustrate this. This isn't part of the message, but let me illustrate this. Each time that Jesus said to His disciples, have faith, I want you to notice something. Right before then, Jesus had done something amazing. Amen. Amen. Nearly every time Jesus said, have faith, or why don't you have more faith? He had just done something amazing. And yet we see this. When folks would come to Jesus, and they would say, I mean, let's take Jairus. He said, my daughter is ill. She needs healed. If you'll come, I know you can do something. And Jesus said, let's go. And even in the midst of a stop, Jairus still had faith. And when Jesus got to his house, he raised his daughter up. His faith. When they brought the crippled man laying on his bed who hadn't walked ever, four men, one on each corner, carried him in. Jesus said, how great is your faith? And countless times that Jesus had folks come to Him that He said, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. One time He said, there's not been so great a faith in all of Israel. And yet His disciples knew Him. And they lacked faith. Isn't that amazing? Those that walked closer to Jesus seemed to have less faith than those that met Him for the first time. And I find that true in our lives as well, that we had great faith when we heard that gospel message. But for some of us, that's been a long time ago. For me, 33 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I'll tell you, there's been more times that since I had that faith that I have doubted, that I have questioned, that I have wondered. My goodness, if we just had more faith. Amen? That's a free message. Now we're in the 16th Psalm, so appreciate you listening to that one. If you need to go now, feel free. You've got a message. But for those of you that want to stay, we're going to give you another one. In Psalm 16, the Bible says, preserve me, O God, for in Thee, oh, here we go, do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Thine lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me read verse 11 one more time for emphasis' sake, where the psalmist says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Finding Joy in Every Day. Finding joy in every day. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and for your joy that you fill us with. Father, your Son told his disciples that his desire was that his joy might remain in them. And Father, as you have given us your word to know and to learn, you instructed the Apostle John to pen the words again that your joy might fill us, as he wrote the first epistle after the gospel. But Father, it seems to be so often in our lives that the joy escapes us. It seems to be that we tend to live most of our days in search of joy and yet never finding it. We find a temporary joy, but God, nothing that seems to be everlasting. God, may we see from your word this morning that this fullness that your word speaks of can be ours. May we find it on the path that you show us. Help us in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Finding joy in every day. Now, I will admit as I begin this that this is an area in my life that as I am delivering this message to you, I am preaching it to myself. I long for joy. I would love to tell you that every day in my life I find joy. But due to my own lack thereof, I know that if it's not present in my life every day, that it may possibly not be present in your life every day. Now, the fact of the matter is, you may be living a life right now where you do indeed find joy every day. And to that I say, hallelujah, rejoice in that. But this morning I want to show you from this 16th Psalm where this joy comes from and how we can have it every day. Now we know in the 119th Psalm, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. And by way of introduction this morning, I want to introduce to you this topic of joy. And in this, I want to explain to you that if we are going to have a day filled, every day of our life, filled with joy, it's only going to come by the presence of God in our lives. And really, we ought to say it more along these lines, that our presence would be found in God. Amen. That just hit me there. Too many times we say that we need to enter into the presence of God. That God needs to be with us. No, it really ought to be the opposite. We ought to be with God. And we ought to enter into His presence. How many times do the Psalms tell us that we should enter into His presence? He doesn't have to enter into our presence. He's already there. Amen. But as we see this idea of finding joy in every life, or in everyday life, in every day of our lives, I started to look through Scripture. And I found that the word joy is used in 155 verses in Scripture. 155. But then I started to expand that, and I thought, well, you know, joy is the main word, but are there other words that would imply a joy in our life? And so I expanded the search a little bit, and I looked up rejoice. And I found that it says rejoice 183 verses. That's more than joy. Huh. And then I expanded that and thought, well, I wonder how many times it says rejoiced with an ED on the end, or really a D, on the end of rejoice. And found that 45 times we see in Scripture, 45 verses. This is where it gets interesting. Because I also thought, well, what about enjoy? Because we like to enjoy things, don't we? So I thought, I wonder how many times enjoy is given in Scripture, and I found that in 13 verses, we find the word enjoy. Enjoy. E-N-J-O-Y. And then I expanded it a little bit farther. And thought, well, I wonder if we had rejoice and rejoice, do we have enjoy and enjoyed? And so I looked that up, and one verse says enjoyed in the past tense within that. Now, what I'd like to do is take the time to read all 397 verses this morning. You should have left after the first sermon. But we don't have time to read all of those verses. Amen. But I tell you, it would be good. It'd be wonderful. I tell you what it did for me. It started to bring some joy. Oh, yeah. 397 verses. And I want to start here by saying that if you are going to find joy in every day, we've already discovered that we're going to have to do it in the presence of God. And we're going to have to enter into His presence. And so wouldn't it be something if you took the time, and I'm not going to do this for you, you're going to have to do this on your own, but if you took the time to look up all 397 verses that either directly relate to joy or have the root word of joy in it, and read one of those verses every day. You would have one verse on joy every day of your life. And I'll tell you that as you do this, it will be very hard for you to read a verse of Scripture about joy and not come out of it with joy. Near impossible. And so if anybody wants to take me up on that challenge, I challenge you 1 year, read one verse a day on joy and see if it doesn't bring more joy into your life. I'm going to expand upon this here in just a moment, but I challenge you to do so. And a year later, I want you to come to me, and if it didn't work, tell me it didn't work. But know this, if you come to me and say it didn't work, I'm going to have to ask, did you read a verse every day? Now let me clarify this statement here. This is on top of your normal everyday Bible reading. Okay? But start with the verse on joy and come into the presence of God and say, God, bring this joy into my life. And I promise you, if you are thinking about finding this joy, you will do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think most days we set out in our life to enjoy life. And I know I use these illustrations occasionally, but I've not met anyone that has woken up and said, I'm just not going to enjoy this day. Not. I have no desire to enjoy this day. Now, there have been days that I've woken up because I knew what was coming within the day that I thought, oh, I wish this day was over. Oh, yeah. something that I had to deal with or knew I was going to have to deal with. And there are days like that. But it doesn't mean we can't have joy. You see, too often we seek to enjoy rather than being filled with joy. And that is the issue. You notice that in 13 verses, the Bible uses the word enjoy. To use the word enjoy means that we are feeling a pleasure in a possession or an experience. So we might say, after eating a meal, we might say, oh, I really enjoyed that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoyed that steak, or I enjoyed that pecan pie, or whatever the case may be. Fill it in and say, I enjoyed that. You might watch a movie and you say, you know, I really enjoyed that movie. You might have fellowship with someone over a meal, and the meal may have been lousy, but you enjoyed the fellowship. And we go through that, and we're constantly, it seems like we are looking for something that we might enjoy. And we move from one pleasure to the next pleasure to the next pleasure. And yet that's not the joy that God is speaking about here in the 16th Psalm. To joy simply means, again, to find a pleasure of feeling caused by a success or a good fortune. It is something that we're going to be elevated in, something that we're going to have gladness in. When we see the word rejoice, we find that it means to experience joy again. And gladness above measure. So when I start to rejoice in something, it means I am finding joy in something again. So point number one, I want you to go back to the 16th, or the 11th verse in the 16th Psalm. And I want to break this down in four areas that how we can find this joy in every day of our life. So in the 16th Psalm, in the 11th verse, the Bible says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. So number one, I want you to know that we find joy in every day of our life because we have a guide. We have a guide. Notice that very first word in that verse says, Thou. Thou wilt show me the path of life. This is talking about and talking to God. You know, you all know I'm married. I have four children. And guess what? Rachel is not my guide. Guess what? I'm not her guide. But we both have a guide. And it's God. And He guides us throughout our life. And we must, as He shows us the path, we must walk therein. And I will tell you, as we walk in this path and as we go throughout this, as we look to God and say, God, show us, I will tell you each and every time we find joy because of God. But there have been times where, as we are looking to do something, it doesn't matter. I mean, you fill in the blank. There are times when I'll tell Rachel, I think we need to do this. And she'll say, I don't know. Are you sure that's what we're supposed to do? Yes, it's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, I just don't know. Explain it to me more. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I don't know. Men, let me tell you something. God has given you a wife. Amen? Amen. Man, guys, come on. Get with this. God has given you a wife, a helpmeet, an appropriate help for you and for me. Not that we have to listen every time. But I'll tell you, sometimes God gives insight to our wives that we probably ought to listen. Because more times than not, I've said, no, this is what we're supposed to do. And she says, okay. So now I have her approval, so if it doesn't go wrong, I can blame her, right? No, because she already said, I don't think so, but if you're sure, okay. You know how many times I've been wrong? Do you care to share? At least twice, right? At least twice. It's probably countless. From little bitty things to really big things. That she said, I don't know. And I've been like, oh, well. But here's the thing. When we stop and pray and say, God, show us, He guides. That is how we can find joy in everyday life. And when we see this, I have a guide. And we must seek Him. And in this, while I can find joy in every day of my life because I have a guide, number two, we can find joy in everyday life because we are travelers. Notice here. He says, Thou wilt show me. We're on a journey. I'm a traveler. One reason I'm a traveler is because this is not my final destination. Go up in this psalm here, just a couple of verses, and I want you to notice what the psalmist says here. In verse number 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Ooh. I have set the Lord always before me. One quick question. Do you always set the Lord before you on your journey? As you set out to travel, do you know where you're going? Do you set God ahead of you? Because it is God that gives us the path. Because notice, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Why? For Thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. This word hell, used in verse number 10, is the word that also translates into grave. He's not going to leave our soul in the grave, and I know that's one of the big questions in life, is what happens after we die? And I know we go through and we talk about it and we would say, well, there's a heaven and there's a hell. We don't just stay in the grave. There is an end. There is really a beginning or a continuing. Because we're either going to live forever in heaven or die forever in hell. But the grave is not the final resting place. And we're a traveler. Question is, where are you traveling to? Are you traveling to heaven? Or are you traveling to hell? You say, Pastor, who would willingly travel to hell? I don't know. I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there's someone out there that says, I really don't care. And they may not care here, but they're certainly going to care there. And so we go through this, and we're a traveler. That's me. If you wanted to, you could insert right above that word me and write your name. Thou wilt show Aaron the path of life. You see, as we set out on this traveling expedition, number three, I can find joy in everyday life because I have my journey. That's the path. That's the path. So thou wilt show me the path. When's the last time you consulted with God on a decision? When's the last time you stopped and said, God, what do I need to do here? God, will you show me what you would have for me on this path? I want to go this way. Is this the right way? I think it's important that we acknowledge the direction that we want to go. And I will tell you, there are some times when God agrees with me. Isn't that wonderful when God agrees with you? Well, I want to go this way. But how many times have we said, I want to go this way, and this is the way to go? I have prayed about it. Look, praying about something and getting an answer on something are two different things. I'm about to pray if I can slap Catherine because she's sitting in my favorite seat. Some would say you shouldn't even have to pray about that. Just slap her. But if I thought sincerely, you know, I need to pray about this because there's just my blood is boiling and I want to slap you. And so I might stop and say, dear Lord, is it all right if I slap Catherine? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've prayed about it. Well, no. Now, we look at that and we say, well, that's silly. Because we know slapping someone is wrong and she's probably going to call the cops and then I get arrested and then it's on the news and y'all are embarrassed and I'm embarrassed and Randall's mad and I'm hiding from him. But I prayed about it. There are some things we don't have to pray about because God has already instructed us. Amen. I don't have to pray about it when God's already instructed me to do or not to do. I mean, again, I have four kids. If Justice knows, he's our youngest, he knows he's not supposed to jump off the roof. He knows this. It's a no-brainer, or at least it should be. He knows he's not supposed to jump off the roof. It would be foolish for him to come in and say, hey, Dad, can I jump off the roof today? No. I mean, it's not even one of those that I have to say, let me think about it and get back to you. It's an automatic no. But yet we cloak our decisions on this journey, on this path, by saying, well, I prayed about it. Hey, let me move on with a different illustration. Do you know I don't have to pray about sharing the gospel with someone? Because God's already told me to. I don't have to stop and say, and Catherine, I'm just going to keep on with you because you're sitting in my favorite seat. It's not really, I'm just saying. But if Catherine's sitting there because she's not saved, she doesn't know the Lord. So I really need to pray about slapping her. God said no. And so now I need to pray about, well, should I witness to her? I don't have to pray about that. Because God has already told me to be a witness with His gospel. So I don't have to pray about that. I can just give it to her. Now, let me clarify a couple of things. Because I want to slap her. I want to share the gospel with her. But is there something that I should pray about if I want to slap her? Yes. And it has absolutely nothing to do with her. And everything to do with me. I would be an angry man. I would be ridiculously out of control. So what I may do is say, dear Lord, you know, Catherine did this and it caused me to, to get into this. And God, would you get a hold of my heart that I might not get so wrathful and so vengeful. And Father, that you would change my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You see the difference? How about this? Lord, help me to see Catherine the way you see Catherine. Oh. You know how quickly you will find your irritation dissipating? Is when God starts showing you them through His eyes. The same Jesus that died to save you died to save her. But now I need to witness to her. I probably need to pray for that. I don't need to pray about witnessing to her, but I may need to pray for wisdom how to even start the conversation. I mean, there's so many different approaches. I mean, I could come and say, Catherine, do you know that if you die today, heaven would be your home? No, she doesn't. All right, now what do I do? But there's so many different approaches to how one can talk to another one. That I might need to pray about. Lord, I'm getting ready to talk to Catherine, and I would ask you that you would just prepare her heart. May your Holy Spirit begin to work as I share the wonderful words of life through your word to her. May she be receptive. And Father, may she have enough faith to trust your Son as her Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see the difference? I don't have to pray about witnessing to her, but maybe I need to pray about how to, that He might direct my path. My path. And then I approach her. Catherine, how are you doing today? And I've been thinking a lot about you, and I'm so glad you're here. And how's Randall doing? Good. Isaiah, he's doing well. He hurt his ankle a while ago, didn't he? Is that better? Great. I'm so glad. But you know, there's a few other things I've been thinking about. And then go right into it. Do you see that? I'm talking about God guiding us because we're travelers and we have a path and we're not going to stop traveling, by the way. We're going to continue. And I can find joy in everyday life because I have a guide, because I am a traveler, and because I have a journey. But I can find joy in everyday life because I have a possession. And that possession, very simply, is life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Let me ask you something. We hear all the time, but are you living life to its fullest? Are you getting everything you can out of this life? Our culture tells us that we can live life to the fullest if you just have enough things to enjoy. And yet the Scripture says that thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You see, as God is guiding us, as we travel on this journey of life, in thy presence will be joy. In thy presence can be joy. In thy presence could be joy. No. The Scripture says in thy presence is joy. As a matter of fact, not just is joy, but is fullness of joy. You see, we get outside of God's presence because we're looking as we're going down the path that God has placed us on, as we follow Him, and as we're on this, we start looking and we say, I would enjoy that. I would enjoy that. And so we go off of the path that God has given us, and we go over here and start enjoying this, and we find out that it's enjoyable. Ooh, is it ever? Bible has something to say about that with Moses. As Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather trading a life of faith rather than enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, the Bible does not hide the fact that there is pleasure in sin. And when we're on that path and we go over and we say, oh, well, I could find pleasure in that. And you fill in the blank. You know the sins you enjoy. You know what they are. But you know as well that the joy in sin is only for a season. And it ends. And it always ends ugly. Always ends ugly. Always ends in disaster when you carry that thing through. But I enjoyed it. Yeah, but what do you do when that joy is over? I got to go find something else to enjoy. And find something else to enjoy. And find something else to enjoy. And we go in this path as we get off of the path of God. And we get to the place where we're constantly going from joy to joy to joy to joy. When God says, in my presence, there is fullness of joy. We are a people of weak constitution. And yet God fills us with His joy. And notice how he ends this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The joys of God have no end to them. Sin, the pleasures end. The joy ends. We can enjoy them for a season, but in the presence of God, the joy is everlasting. You want to have joy in every day in your life? Get in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. I think it's great as we read through this entire psalm in verse number 7, and I'll close with this, as the Bible says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. In those times of darkness, in those heavy days that we wake up and we say, I know what's coming today, and I don't like it. Yet in God's presence, I have joy. Joy in God's presence, in the night seasons, in those times when it seems to be the hardest, we can still have a joy in our life, in our day, because of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I have no idea where you're at. You may have joy every day in your life. I pray you'll continue in it. I pray you'll continue in the path that God has set before you and walk in His ways and continue in His steps. But if you're like me, I hope you would admit those days that you don't enjoy and those days where you find no pleasure, it's probably because you haven't been in God's presence. And there is no probably to it. It's a definite. Get in the presence of God. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. You may need to come and deal with God about your joy. Let Him fill you. As we pray, Father, I love You. I thank You for being my God. I thank You for being my guide as I travel through this journey of life. You have been ever so faithful to show me Your path. Even in the times where I've been foolish enough to tread off of that path, You You've always allowed me to get back on track. Father, I don't know the situations of hearts in this room this morning, but I'm certain that you do. And I pray that as we have this invitation time, that you'll allow folks to deal with the needs in their heart and in their life, that you might have your way. And we do thank you for taking us just as we are. Because if we had to clean up and be perfect, God, you would never use any of us. But through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made us righteous. We are oh so grateful for the blood. Help us today. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.